Hello, everybody. With Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are live right now for the purpose of allowing you to be a part of the broadcast, to pose your question, or seek direction for your real-life issues. So we invite your calls now to 1-800-677-9377. We all have issues in our lives, and many times we don't know what to do or where to turn. That's why we are here. Something you need to talk about? Let's talk about it right now. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel, and it intersects with your life every day. Call now, friends, 1-800-677-9377. Now here's Richard Pfeiffer.
Thanks, Bob. We've been looking at the topic of freedom all month, and we will continue to do so on through the end of the month. And I want to follow up a little bit on yesterday's conversation. We started in Romans 8 and gave that very famous passage, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death.
Yes.
And well, that's great news. It's amazingly great news. A little later in that same chapter, Paul says this, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Well, there's an uh-oh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no condemnation because we're free from the law of sin and death by the law of the Spirit of life, but if we're in the realm of the flesh, we can't please God. And then you think about Hebrews 11:6. We please God by our faith. And you start asking, how are we going to get there? What does it look like? What do we mean by this? And thankfully, Paul gave us that answer. If you go back to Romans 6, the second half of that chapter, we're all familiar with the first half of the chapter because verse 14 ends with, for sin shall no longer be your master because you are not under law but under grace. There's another one of those freedom statements. Yeah. I love that freedom statement. Well, what happens between being made free under grace and living your life? Because all of us know that even though we've been made free under grace, that there are those days when it feels like the harder we try, the deeper we get.
Yeah.
You know, we're just digging a hole and it's collapsing behind us. In fact, it's like I was recently on vacation in Breckenridge, Colorado, and one of the things that happened between the early 1900s and around 1920, is they brought in very large dredges to mine for gold in the rivers. And one of these dredges is still visible because it went upstream and finally dug itself into a hole that it couldn't get out of, and so everybody just turned around and walked away.
Yeah.
That feels like my life sometimes. Well, one of the things that I thought that happened is as soon as I was set free, then that was it. I was free. And that's what I wanted. I wanted freedom more than anything else. I didn't want to be slave to sin ever, ever again. I'd had enough of that. But what I didn't realize is that there's no middle ground. It's not that I was set free from sin and then left. I was set free from sin in order to become something.
Yeah.
And the surprise was that what I was set free to become is described in the second half of Romans 6. And it's described as being the slave of righteousness or the slave of God. You can paraphrase that by saying the slave of Jesus Christ. Well, just a minute. I thought I was free.
Yeah.
I don't want to be anybody's slave. I really, truly, I wanted to walk in the middle on this really high fence. And I wanted to walk along and not be influenced by anybody. I didn't want any of that sin stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't really want that God stuff either. I wanted me to be free. And what I had to come to the conclusion of is that I was never more free than when I became the slave of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
It sounds crazy, but it's true. If you don't want to spend your life slamming your head into the wall as you try to accomplish in the flesh what only Jesus can accomplish, you are going to be a terribly unhappy person, even if you're saved.
Yeah.
Maybe especially because you're saved, because you know that something's wrong. So give up these ideas of a false freedom where I'm in charge and throw yourself on the mercy of Jesus Christ and say, I'm yours. If you want to kill me, you can. He never will.
Right.
But I become his slave, and then some of this stuff begins to make sense.
Yeah.
But only in slavery to Jesus Christ can we experience the freedom we're talking about this
Absolutely.
Month.
Basic Gospel, everybody. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and thank you for joining us. We have plenty of open lines. Calls beginning to come in, but still plenty of open lines right now. 1-800-677-9377, a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, of course. 1-800-677-9377. To Louisville, Kentucky, let's talk to Rentha, listening on WFIA. Rentha, welcome to the broadcast.
Well, I was calling because the gospel that preaches that the day of Pentecost, it said, repent and be baptized and for the remission of sin. So it sounds like what I'm hearing from you, listen to you every day, enjoy you, is that we don't have to do that. That you know, is that correct? Or is that part of the gospel? Will you explain that to me, please?
Okay. When we talk about repentance, and this is what Peter was talking about in his sermon at Pentecost, and you see it several other places in the book of Acts as you get this history of the gospel going out to the world, he's talking about a change of mind. To repent means to change your mind. And the first and foremost thing we repent of is not this little tiny sin, you know, I lied to my mother yesterday. That's not what we're talking about. What we're repenting of is our unbelief. Jesus, I haven't been believing in you. I repent of that. I am turning around 180 degrees to go the other direction where I believe in you and you alone. That is the act of repentance. And along with that comes, because now that we're in Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins, then the remission of sins comes along with that. The beauty of baptism is that it demonstrates that spiritual reality in a beautiful physical picture of death and being buried under the water and then coming back to life to be resurrected, and you leave all of the old you buried and you come out a brand new creature in Jesus Christ. And so the repentance that we talk about is a one-time lifetime choice. I didn't believe in Jesus. Now I do, and because I do, I am his forever, and that his forgiveness continually, every day, every moment of every day, continues to wash over me, removing the stain of sin that I get on myself, whether it was from the history or something in current. And so there is both repentance and confession, and it has to do with us coming to Jesus for salvation and then realizing every day of our lives that we are standing in his forgiveness, and we thank him, and we thank him, and we thank him.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Does that help, Rentha?
Yes, thank you.
Very good. Well,
thanks
hope
for
you'll,
your call.
Yeah, I hope you'll keep listening and call again if we can be a further help. Again, open lines, 1-800-677-9377 to Denver. Let's talk to Kenny, listening on KRKS. Hi, Kenny. Welcome to the broadcast.
Boy, do I love your program.
Oh,
you
great.
Teach
Thank
me
you.
So much. One question that I have is there a difference between moral sin and what I call regular sin? I'm going to hang up, listen to you, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Thanks, Kenny.
I used to pray really hard that there was a difference between moral sin and regular sin. there was so much in my life that I was afraid was going to just kill me dead. You know, and I wanted to get rid of that stuff, but those other things that weren't so bad, I didn't mind holding on to. Well, what I had to come to the realization was that anything not done in faith is sin,
yeah.
Which means that my life before Jesus was one constant sin. I was dead in sin. That's what we were talking about in Romans 8. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. The law of sin and death owned me. I was its slave. So even if I helped a little old lady across the street, or you know, made sure that a newspaper ended up on the front porch instead of in the sprinkler, those good things, right? Those were good things.
You're watching me.
Yeah. Outside of Jesus, everything I do is sin.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe it. And so there's no such thing as moral sin and regular sin. I believe our Catholic friends would say moral and venial. And I probably got that wrong, so I'm sorry. But there's no separation in sin. Sin is sin. Mm-hmm. And we are born dead in sin, spiritually dead. We need to be brought back to life spiritually. Jesus died for all sins, the really bad ones and the little not so bad ones.
Yeah.
Sin is sin. And now that I'm in Christ, sin takes on a different flavor, because now for the first time in my life, I do have a choice. Before I was in Jesus, there was no choice. Whatever I did was sinful because I was dead in sin. Now that I'm in Christ, I have the choice to walk by faith in what the indwelling Holy Spirit is leading me to do, or to say, that's okay, Lord, I've got this one, and I'll take care of it, doing it on my own, in my own strength. And now you begin to understand why anything that doesn't come from faith is sin, because faith is that saying, I may not understand what the Holy Spirit is leading me to do, but because it's the Holy Spirit, I will go ahead and do it. And I know that he will empower me to do it. If I do it in my own strength, even if it's a good thing, I haven't done it by faith.
Right.
And I like to say this often, because in Christian circles we have a misunderstanding. If I am a pastor, and I am, and I bring 100 million people to Jesus Christ, and I do it in the strength of my own ability to confront and convert people, then they indeed might get saved. They
sure,
came to
right.
Jesus Christ. But everything I've done has been in my own flesh, my own strength, and it's sinful.
And that's what's called wood, hay, and stubble.
Wood, hay, and stubble.
And that makes for a good bonfire.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I may be saved, but the things that I do that aren't of faith, they're just going to blow away.
Right.
And when it comes time to have that conversation with God, the only thing we will say to him is, oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. I mean, when he allows us to do this a little bit now. I mean, every once in a while he says, Richard, why don't you look back over the last 2 or 3 weeks? What's happened? And you don't need to tell anybody about it. I just want to have a conversation with you. And you look back and you go, oh, there was a situation that could only have been you, Lord. He says, it was. And well, here's a situation that's equivocal. Maybe it was me and maybe it was you. And he said, if you have to ask that, it's probably just me.
Yeah.
Richard is doing this. And I want you to let go of that, even if it's an ability. Mm-hmm. See, if you've got a gift or a talent or a skill and you have trouble letting go of it, God's not going to erase it. He's going to sanctify it in a way that is so unique and so wonderful. And so that's the opportunity we have. So don't try to come up with grades of sin. Sin is sin. It's all bad. Even the good stuff is bad. Come to Jesus, keep your eyes focused on him, and let the Spirit overflow your life into the blessings for other people.
Absolutely. Kenny, thank you for a great question on today's edition of Basic Gospel. Richard Piper is here. My name is Bob Davis, and we thank you for joining us. We have plenty of open lines, still plenty of time on the clock. We want to hear from you. That's why we're live every day, so that you can participate, so that you can pose your question or your particular life need, and we'll be glad to discuss it with you. But you need to call 1-800-677-9377. That's good right now. Plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377. To Mahopac, New York, and let's talk to Peter, listening on WMCA. Hi, Peter. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm driving again. John chapter 15, verse 14 mm-hmm. to 17.
Okay.
I can't read it out. I think I have the right verse. Christ talks about servant, you're his friend.
Let me read it to you and see if we've got the right one. This is starting in 14. You are my friends if you do what I command.
Right.
I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business, etc. Is that where you're talking about?
Yes, yes.
Okay. So what's your question about that?
No, I mean that's like, you know, when you say, as long as you obey him, you become, that's the relationship, to being his friend.
Yes.
You know, instead of calling it, I mean, you know, when you're saying slave, but I don't really care for, like, slave. it's a that's being a little harsh. I mean,
yes.
I don't know.
Well,
I just look at him as my, my best, you know, there's no one better than Christ.
Yes, I understand completely. And I wouldn't use the term slave if Paul hadn't used it.
I mean, I'm being a little legal, you know, but I don't know. I love him.
Yes, I understand. I understand completely.
I don't consider myself being a slave because that's like, you know.
Well, I know.
Sorry about that.
Well, that's okay. I was exactly where you are. In a way, I'm still exactly where you are, because I'd much rather think of myself as a fellow heir of Christ.
Gentlemen.
Pardon?
Obedient till death.
Indeed. Yeah, so we use these English words to paint pictures, and none of them actually reach up to what it is. I mean, we can call ourselves friends of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? It's certainly something more than that I'm a friend of Bob Davis, right? Being a slave of Christ, being a slave of righteousness, is something much less than what we think of slavery today, but something much more than just simple obedience. I literally have offered myself to God to be used as he sees fit. And so you have to use all of these words, friend, fellow heir, son of God, you know, that sort of thing, to get a better picture of what's going on. But,
I know. You want to just,
yeah.
But all right, guys.
Well, thank you, Peter.
Thank you for calling.
Yes, all right. Have a good weekend.
Drive safe, man.
Yes, indeed. Quickly to Queens, New York. Let's talk to Kathy, listening also on WMCA. Hi, Kathy. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
I'm kind of between and betwixt in life. I believe that Jesus is the Savior,
okay,
Son of God, and he died for my sins. I read my Bible. I pray. And I feel like I'm lost. I don't feel connected to Jesus, and it's really bothering me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you guys could, you know, like maybe give me some encouragement, some more scriptures to read, because I feel like I'm just in limbo.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry that you feel that way, but I'm also really glad that you called, because you've got to know, first of all, you're not the only one going through this. There are probably people listening right now who are going, oh, God, how did she know? Right? So you are now representing a bunch of people. We can be absolutely assured of our salvation. I'm going to look something up here and read it to you. It comes out of John's first letter. It's in chapter 5. Verse 11, and this is the testimony. Okay, so what he's talking about is that something is communicating to us. Okay? And what is being communicated to us is this: God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. So the very most important thing God wants you to know is that you have eternal life. Okay? So how do you get eternal life? Simple. You've already done it. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. Okay? Believe it or not, praying doesn't save you, reading your Bible doesn't save you. Those are all good things. We encourage you to pray and to read your Bible, but that's not what saves you. Jesus saves you. Okay? So when you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, then you have eternal life, and it can never be taken away from you. John 10 tells us that. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and saying, look, when I have someone in my hands, no one can take them out of my hands. I and the Father are one, so therefore no one can take them out of the Father's hands. So I'm going to ask you a question. How did you understand salvation? How would you define salvation?
Well, I guess it's first and foremost knowing that I am a sinner. that I'm not made perfect, that if I do not put my belief, my trust in the Lord, ask for his forgiveness and repent of my sins, that I can't be saved. I believe with all my heart that Jesus did die for the sins of the world.
Okay.
And that he was resurrected.
Okay.
I totally believe that. And I believe that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession, as his word says.
Mm-hmm.
But I just feel disconnected.
So one of the things, I'm reading into what you're telling me, so I may be off, but one of the things your words told me is that your salvation in your mind was mostly sin-focused. You knew you were a sinful person. You knew that you needed forgiveness. You knew that Jesus died for your sins, and so you accepted that. Do you know what you got as a result of his resurrection?
I guess I don't.
Yeah. Maybe this will help. It's because of Jesus' resurrection that you have eternal life. Salvation is not about sin. Salvation is about death and life. Now, Jesus had to die for sins, and you needed to accept his death on your behalf for all of your sins, just like the whole world needs to accept it. But that only was a preparation for the main event, and the main event was his resurrection. And because of his resurrection, he was victorious over death, not just over sin. And so when he came to life and you accepted him, he gave you his life. He also gave you forgiveness. But the most important thing he gave you was his life. And so you have that eternal life. You already have it. It's not like you're lost and need to get re-saved. It's that you didn't understand completely what salvation is. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the reason you've had this conflict is because the Spirit hasn't been leaving you alone. The Spirit wants you to understand exactly what you've been given, how much you've been given, and how much that means.
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing you need as assurance for your salvation is to remember that because Jesus was raised from the dead, he raised you from the dead when you accepted him. Is that good news?
Yes.
Yeah? You think that might make a difference in your life?
I think so. I just need, you know, to convince myself that I matter to the Lord.
Oh, you matter.
Absolutely.
You matter more than you could possibly know. Read that passage out of 1 John 5 and also read John chapter 10. If you don't mind, I would love to pray with you right now.
Yes, please.
Okay. Dear Lord, we're talking with your child, Kathy. And we know she's your child. She's accepted Jesus. But what she needs right now more than anything else is a revelation of just how alive she is and therefore just how much you love her. And so we put her in your hands right now to make that clear to her. I can't do it. She can't do it for herself. This is something that you love to do and you will do every time. So we thank you in advance. We want you to do what you need to do in Kathleen's life, and we will just praise Jesus because of it. In his name, amen.
Kathy, I want you to hold the line because we have some materials we'd love to send to you. We're so glad that you called today and hope you will keep listening. So hold the line and our operator will pick you up. Well, a wonderful way to end the broadcast. That to me is the bottom line. This is where the rubber meets the road.
Why we do what we do.
That's why we do what we do. Well, everybody, we have a very special offer for you right now, and it's called The Cure. It's by John Lynch and his team at True Face Ministries. And if you're looking for an authentic relationship with Jesus, you're ready for The Cure. As I said, it's written by John Lynch and his team, and for your gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month, let us say thank you with a complimentary copy of The Cure. Request your copy today and allow God's cure to free you to walk in the fullness of his love and grace. To make your gift and request your copy, simply visit us at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or contact us by phone at 1-800-727-2828. 1-800-727-2828. Well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, and for the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.